I do want to say it is a privilege to be here. Thank you, preacher, for the opportunity that you've given us to come today, and then for the opportunity to preach, especially on a Sunday morning. We appreciate that, and thank you again for the motel room last night. What a nice place that was that you give us to stay, and we appreciate that as well. All right? Take your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 10. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 10. I'll find it here in just a minute, all right? The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10, and we'll begin reading there in verse number, let's begin reading there in the Gospel of Luke chapter number 10, verse number 30. In the Gospel of Luke chapter number 10, we'll begin reading there in verse number 30. The Bible said, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then you can be seated. Lord, we bow before you this morning to thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, to be saved and for the privilege to be in church today. Thank you, Lord, for your presence that we've already felt in the service today. And, Lord, how you've worked in our hearts and blessed us even, Lord, from the very beginning. And, Lord, I pray now you'd help us as we stand one more time to try to preach the Word of God. I pray you'd calm the nervousness. Lord, give us clarity of thought. Use the Word of God to be a blessing in our heart today. May we live different than what we come in, I pray. And for all you do, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. And you can be seated. I really mean it's an honor for us to be here this morning. And we don't take that lightly. Thank you for letting us come. All of the Bible is good. But I begin to read and I begin to meditate on what the Lord would have us to preach on this morning. And the thought the Lord would have us to preach on. And he brought my attention to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 10, a story that you've probably heard many times down through the years. And I guess the reason that the Lord brought this passage of Scripture to my mind is our church, the Lord has laid a burden on the heart of our church, and of course, our pastor, who is my father, and it's a ministry of rescuing those that are in trouble. I believe that's what the church is here for, don't you? We ought to be in the business of rescuing those that are in trouble. Remember where the Lord found you, the mess you was in when the Lord found you. And look where you are this morning, and it's all because of the grace of God. That's the only reason. We have nothing to boast in, nothing to brag about. All we have is to give honor and give glory to the God of heaven for what he's done in our lives. Amen. If it was dependent on me, I'd never make it. Hello, you'd never make it either, amen? But thank God for the mercy and the grace of God. And so God has laid the burden on our heart to help those that are in trouble. The burden that the Lord has laid on our heart is particularly related to men. Men that are on alcohol, men that are on drugs, men that have nowhere to go. The Lord has given us the burden to help these kind of men. And the way we're doing that is we've purchased 27 acres of land and trying to raise support to build a building. We want to take men that are on alcohol, men that are on drugs, men that have been in prison, men that have been in jail, living on the street. We want to take these kind of men in, give them a place to sleep, food to eat, clothes to wear, and then preach the Word of God to them, all right? And so the Lord has laid that burden on our heart. Presently, we have about 6 men right now. And we don't have a building. Got them scattered around the church there. We preach the Word of God to them twice a day. Preach it Monday morning, Monday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, all through the week. Preach the Word of God to them. Then on Sunday morning, Sunday night, we'll preach the Word of God to them again. You say, why do you do that? Because that's their only hope. There is no other help outside of the Word of God. Amen. I mean, it's been proven. They go to the AA, they go to the tryout clinics, they go to the rehabilitation centers, and they wind back up in the same mess they come out of. I can guarantee if you get Jesus in their heart, He'll change their life for time and eternity. Amen. So He is their only hope. Amen. We have the answer. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we have about six men. We got a boy right now. He's 31 years old. My heart breaks. My heart breaks when I think about him. He's probably one of the nicest boys you'll ever meet. But he's hooked on alcohol. Hooked on alcohol. He's made several professions of faith, but he can't get off alcohol. Preach, he's so bad he drinks cologne. He's so bad that he's drinking mouthwash. That's how addicted he is to alcohol. And I was talking to somebody the other day. They said there's no hope for him. I said, oh yeah, there's hope for him. Long as Jesus is alive, there's hope for him. Amen. If there's hope for you, there's hope for him. Amen. And so you pray for him. We got about five other ones like that. And they're calling constantly. Preacher, we need help. Can you help us? We'd love to help you, but don't have room. Preacher, I'm telling you, I got thinking last night, if somebody don't help rescue our country, we're going to be in a world of trouble. Amen. We're sending missionaries all over the world. But if somebody don't rescue some men and rescue some families, they're going to be sending missionaries to us. Amen. And so the Lord has put that burden on our heart. That's why I'm on the road trying to raise support. Not for me. All the support comes in, goes to the home, trying to get a building up in the air. And so if you go by the display this morning, I have a prayer card back there. Put it on your refrigerator where you go most often, all right? And then I also have a little bit more details. I read a statistic the other day. Said 82% of the men that get out of jail go back. 82% of the men that get out of jail go back. I read another statistic that said 50% of the youth of America are hooked on some form of substance abuse. 50% of the youth of America are hooked on some form of substance abuse. Now that doesn't count those that don't admit it. Neither does that count those that are hooked on prescription drugs. Amen. We are in a wall of trouble. We're in a wall of trouble. But I'm telling you, Jesus is the answer to your trouble this morning. Amen. I don't know who you are or where you stand spiritually, but I'm telling you, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, I'm telling you, Jesus is the answer to your problem. Amen. He can change your life forever. And so I begin to read these verses in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 10, about this man that was found. This man that was found by the wayside. And I began to meditate on that passage of Scripture. And then I began to meditate over there in the book of Proverbs, where the Bible said, where there is no vision, the people perish. Amen. And I began to think about that passage of Scripture. And I want to preach on this simple thought this morning on helping those that are hurting. Helping those that are hurting. Amen. We live in a world, whether you know it or not, it don't take a smart man to know it, that is a hurting world. Amen. We attend churches that there are people sitting in the pews of our churches that are hurting this morning. Amen. And our life ought to be consumed with helping those that are hurting. Amen. So I begin to think about this passage of Scripture, and I'll give you what the Lord's laid on my heart, and I'll get out of the way. All right? Notice, if you would, first of all, by way of outline, if you look in verse number 30, the Bible said, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. First of all, by way of outline, I want you to notice the traveler. Here we have a man, the Bible said that he went down from Jerusalem. Now, he was in the city of God. He was in the place of God. He was around the temple of God, around the things of God. And one day made the decision, I think I'll go down to Jericho. Now, I'll submit to you this morning, anytime you leave the place of God, that's exactly what you're doing. You're going down. Amen. Anytime you leave the house of God and the Word of God, you're headed on a downward path. Amen. And so that's what this man decided to do. I see the traveler. When he left, he got himself in trouble. Amen. When this man left, he got himself in trouble. First of all, I want you to notice that he was robbed. He was stripped of everything that he had. I tell you, that's exactly what the devil does, is it not? He'll strip you of everything good that you have in your possession. Amen. I'll tell you this morning, young person, listen to me. The world has nothing to offer you. They'll take what you got and leave you laying side the road with no hope and no help. But I'll tell you, the devil will rob you of everything you got this morning. Amen. The traveler, he was robbed. Not only was he robbed for outline's sake, he was roughed up. He was wounded. Amen. He was wounded and they departed. Isn't that how the world does you? Long as you got the money, long as you got what they want, they'll hang with you. But when all of that's gone, your friends are gone. Amen. I'm glad I have a friend this morning that sticketh closer than a brother. The Bible said he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. No matter what I have, no matter what I don't have, he'll always be with me. Amen. The world will rob you. They'll wound you. They'll depart, leaving you half dead. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said they robbed him, they wounded him, and they left him thinking he's going to be dead. So I see the traveler. Verse number 31, I'm a very deep preacher now, you have to stay with me. Not only do I see the traveler, notice the traffic. The Bible said, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. Now surely if anybody was going to be interested in this man, it'd be the preacher. Are y'all with me this morning? If anybody was going to be interested in this man laying in the ditch side of the road that needed help, surely the preacher would stop and help him. But when he stopped and saw the condition this man was in, the Bible said he passed by on the other side. Amen. So notice in verse number 31 again, he passed by. And a priest came, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And then verse number 32, and likewise a Levite, when he came to that place, he looked on him and passed by on the other side. You know, sad to say, that's where a lot of God's people are. They get close enough just to see what kind of condition they're in, and they pass by on the other side. Amen. Preacher, if we're not careful in our own lives and in our churches, we'll get the attitude of just getting close enough to see how bad they are, and then we'll pass by on the other side. I bet you, preacher, wouldn't have to go too, well, I don't bet, but I guarantee you wouldn't have to go too far around this church to find somebody that's hurting. Probably wouldn't have to go outside the four walls of this church to find somebody that's hurting. Amen. But you know what we do? We get accustomed to it, and we're so wrapped up in our own world and so busy with what we got to do, even though that's good things. But we get so busy, we forget there's people that are hurting and need our help in their life. Amen. Amen. Helping the hurting. So these men, they pass by on the other side. They pass by on the other side. Can I say to you this morning, on this road of life, you're bound to meet all kind of people. Amen. You're going to meet robbers. Amen. They want what you got. You're going to meet the religious. You ain't getting what they have. Amen. You're going to meet the rebellious. Amen. But I don't say thank God every now and then. You'll run across one that's been saved by the grace of God. Amen. So I see in verse number 31 of Luke 10, the Bible said that the priest passed by and the Levite passed by and they passed by on the other side. I'm glad there came a man walking down the road. He was the Good Samaritan. And when he passed by, he stopped and helped the man that was in trouble. Amen. Notice if you would in verse number 33, the Bible said, but a certain Samaritan as he journeyed came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. You're never going to help anybody till you see what they are. But we're not going to help anybody till we get a broken heart over their condition. Amen. Stay with me just a minute, would you? He's walking down the road, minding his own business, doing his own thing, going his own way. Probably had a busy day. And he looks down in the ditch, and there lays a man that's been wounded, beat up and left for dead. All hope is gone. And his heart begins to break. He sees the condition of that man. He sees him bleeding. He sees his clothes ripped from him. He sees that he's been robbed. He sees that it don't look very good for him to survive. And contrary to the priest, and contrary to what the Levite did, he said, I can't go any farther. I got to stop and do what I can to help rescue this man. So you know what he does? He gets down off his camel and he says, I think I can slide down here in this ditch. Let me see if I can get that. My clothes is getting dirty, but that'll be all right. And he gets down there to where he, oh, sir, you're worse than I thought you were. You're a whole lot worse than I thought you were. And tears begin to well up in his eyes. Are you with me, church? Are you with me? Tears begin to well up. You see, I've been with them. I never smoked any dope, but I've been with them to the emergency room when they've been taking 15 Oxycontin pill a day for 2 years in a row, every day of their life, and I've seen them with the shakes, and I've seen them sitting on the bed saying, is there any hope for me? Is there any help for me? What's going to happen to me? Can you help me? Thank God I got the answer. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can help you. I'm telling you, when the doctors have given up hope, when society has given up hope, we can be there to help them in their problems. Amen. That's the kind of ministry we have. We want to help those that are in trouble. You got to get down there where they are. We was riding down the road the other day. We've been riding down the road a lot, but one day we was riding down the road and stopped at the gas station. And for directions or something to drink or something. And got out the car, went inside and got a drink. And I was minding my own business. Got back in the car. And one of the youngins said, Daddy, what's he supposed to be? And I looked up and I'm telling you, oh my soul. He was nasty. I mean filthy, long, greasy hair. And I said, he's a hobo. You know, he had his packs on his back. So I backed out. I was right getting ready to get on the interstate, and one of them said, Daddy, maybe you should have given that man one of your prayer cards. Pretty bad when your children are more spiritual than you are, isn't it? Daddy, maybe you should have given him the phone number to the home. So, you know what I did? I stopped right there on the exit ramp. Sure enough, here he come walking down the exit ramp. And I rolled down my window on my wife's side because I didn't trust him, you know. I didn't know if he had a gun or nothing. I wanted to be safe. I believe you ought to be precautious. So I rolled down the window on my wife's side and I said, sir, I don't know you. You don't know me. But I want to give you this little card right here. And let you know if you ever need any help, I know somebody can help you. I don't know where that man's at this morning, but I'll tell you, there's about six more at my house that are in the same condition he's in. I'm telling you, they're in the right place to get the answer to their problem, amen. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, all throughout the week, we preach the Word of God to them and pray to see them saved, amen. When they first, I got so much to say, I can't say it all. When they first come to the home for 90 days, a man calls us and says, Preacher, we want to come to the home. Will you let us come? If you'll agree to one thing, what's that, preacher? You'll stay for 90 days. So they'll come to the home, they'll stay there for 90 days. They won't have any outside contact other than family. And they'll stay there. They won't work a job outside the church. They won't do anything outside the church. Preacher, we got a scripture ministry. We take printed scripture that's been printed. And we got machines there. We'll collate it. We'll put covers on it. We'll staple it. We'll box it. And we send it all around the world. Amen. These fellas have been on alcohol and been on drugs. These fellas that handled liquor and alcohol and drugs, now those same hands are taking Bibles and putting them together and sending the answer all around the world. They don't realize what they're doing. They have no idea what they're doing. The very answer for their problem is in their hands. Amen.
I'm telling you, I want to be somebody that'll be a help to somebody that's hurting in their life. Amen. I begin to think, you know, that's what our government does. They're helping those that don't even help themselves. Amen. Yeah. Well, I won't go there, but that's the truth, ain't it? They're helping those that don't even help themselves. Amen. And that awful thing that happened in Japan. We are helping those that are in trouble. Our government is helping people. Amen. I begin to think, man, when crisis comes, our government's helping people. And I begin to think part of the greatest story of all, Jesus saw we were in trouble. Amen. Jesus saw we were in trouble. And what did he do? He came down to where we were and helped us in our situation. Amen. That's what Jesus did. I want to ask us this morning, what are we doing? Amen. Helping those that are in trouble. Amen. Verse 32 are mentioned two of those who were in the line of traffic that day. For some reason, we're not told why they did not stop. I don't know why they didn't stop. If they were like we are, maybe they were too busy. If they were like we are, maybe they were blinded by self, by sin, or by Satan. Maybe it was simply they just didn't have a burden. So we see the traffic. We see the traveler. Look in verse number 33. The Bible said, "But as a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, when he saw him, he had compassion on him." The traffic, the traveler. But notice the trouble. The troubled. So troubled, this man became in his heart and in his mind that it caused him to do something. He came to where he was. He had to get a little bit closer so he could see his condition. And the Bible said he had compassion on him. You know what, church? Truth of the matter is, it's going to cost you something to help others. It may cost you some time. It may cost you some gas. It may cost you some treasure. Amen. How many people along life's way have been stripped, they have been wounded, and they've been left half dead by the devil? Yet, because we are so busy. Yet, because we are so blinded. Yet, because we have a lack of burden, we pass them up. I'm preaching my own self under conviction. Oh, that God would give us a heart to help those that are hurting. Amen. Amen. What's the conclusion of this story? Look in verse number 37. Well, verse 36, "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him. Then Jesus looked at this man and he said, "Go and do thou likewise." Lord, what do you want me to do? I want to know the will of God for my life. What do you want me to do? Go and do thou likewise. Help those that are hurting. Preacher, we got a man right now at the home. He's 52 years old. He lost his wife, lost his children, lost his house. He's lost everything that he possessed. Because of alcohol. He's been a drunk. He said, "Philip, I was drunk for 27 years. He said, if I wasn't drinking, the only reason I wasn't drinking is because I was in a dry out clinic because I was fixing to die because I'd been drunk for so long." Preacher, people are so bound in sin. So he sits on the front row every Sunday morning. He's made a profession. He sits on the front row every Sunday morning and we preach the Bible to him. Yet somehow or another, he finds a way to get a hold of it. Somehow or another, he gets a hold of it. But here's my question to you. So we turn him loose. Get out of here.
Go your own way.
Where is he going to end up?
He said, man, if I caught him drinking, I'd say, run him off, get rid of him.
Where is he going to end up?
We're their only hope. We're their only help. If they don't get help now, they probably won't get help. We're their only hope.
Amen.
So it's our burden and our prayer that while they're here, God will grip their heart and break their heart, and they'll see their need and be saved by the grace of God. Amen. Helping the hurting. I want to ask you, are you involved in helping the hurting? Locally and around the world, are you involved in helping the hurting? Would you pray for us, keep us in your heart, keep us in your mind, that God will provide the need, that we can have a place called Fair Haven Home for Men to help those that are hurting. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Lord, I pray you take this very simple thought, use it for your honor and glory. Bless now the remainder of the service as the preacher comes. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.